As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights, Big City. We got a bunch of big shots, and tonight's big shot of the night goes to the unnamed captain, but really the captain, the leader, the face of the Mets, the leadoff hitter. Back-to-back days, he leads off with a home run. He can't be stopped. He has 2 homers in this game. The second one coming in the 7th inning, a 3-run bomb so that he finishes off the night with 4 RBI. 2 hits, scoring 2 runs, worked a walk, struck out once, but you know what? It's all good, man. He's picking up the slack for the guy behind him. And that's not a shot. That's saying, you know, Juan Soto was 0-for-4. He had an almost home run. Doesn't matter, man. Lindor is doing it. You could say that his leadoff homer was the difference with the Mets winning 5-4. You could say that he's the difference. Watch his post games. Watch how he speaks and talks about the team. Right in the beginning of the season, when the Mets were struggling a little bit, they talked about not having quality at bats. Today, he says, yeah, okay, I had 2 home runs, but at the end of the day, guys had quality at bats today. Listen to when he talks about the standard and the culture that the Mets have. I remember last year when Jorge Lopez threw his glove into the stands, Carlos Mendoza said, that's not the standard around here. We have standards. And I laughed on air. I said, oh, really? You're the Mets. Let's see your standards. And after that, Lindor calls a team meeting. He speaks. I think J.D. Martinez speaks. Nimmo speaks. And the Mets, off they go on a magical run. I just look at this guy as a leader, a guy that is leading by example. And also verbally, you know, it's hard to find guys in sport that are making the big money that can talk the talk and walk the walk. And the Mets have that in Francisco Lindor, a guy who I think should have been the National League MVP last year when you think about what he does, like I just said, offensively, defensively, in the media, and then going out there and backing it up for his teammates and setting the tone, setting the example, being the first one to hit and then running out on the field, making plays with his glove as well, like playing shortstop every day. And yeah, he's had a couple errors this year, but he's owned up to them. He's been very accountable and you know, taking it on, and then he's come back and made up for it. So I've been very impressed this early season with Francisco Lindor and how he's leading this Mets team. And clearly, last October wasn't a fluke, and these guys want more, and they're set up for success. They're set up to get more help and have healthier guys come back and join the team and also add at the deadline. So For the Met fan that is going out to Citi Field to support this team, continue to do so all season long, and they're not going to let you down. It's clear that they are responding to, you know, that place being full, that place being loud, fans being into the game. They haven't lost. Would they lose one game at home so far? So, yeah, congrats to the Mets fans on the good start. Here's the anti-Mets fan, John in Maspeth on the Fan. John, what you got to say?
I'm not an anti-Mets fan, man. I just, you know.
No, it's okay
to joy and pride. Okay. I just take joy and pride in their downfall, you know.
I understand. I chuckle at a lot of their, you know, downfall and little things that they do as well, but I give credit where credit is due.
Listen, they were throwing the punches when they signed Soto. You know, Soto chose us. He wanted to go to a winning team, blah, blah. Now, he chose the money. Now, look at him. He's underperforming. You know, he's hitting 240. Hasn't even homered yet in Citi Field. He's getting almost carried every night.
By a few feet, he almost rocked the place.
Yeah, well, by a few feet, still not good enough. He's getting carried every night by Alonso or Lindor, like tonight. And that's all he's been his whole career. He's been someone who's been getting carried. He got carried by Judge last year. Got carried by Stanton in the playoffs. Was getting carried by Tatis and Machado in San Diego. You know, carried a lot.
Anthony Rendon,
yeah.
And Ryan Zimmer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been getting carried his whole career. He's a Robin, and that's always going to be his career, you know, is who's going to carry him. And he's probably not even going to care, but whatever. I'm kind of tired of talking about him because he's a nobody now. He's just a mediocre player that just draws walks. He probably named 25 outfielders that I would rather have over him right now. Maybe 50 if you include his contract. But, you know, I'm not, whatever. He's done. We're a better team without him, obviously. Bellinger and Goldschmidt and Ben Wright.
Max Fried is not a Yankee right now if Lindor doesn't take the Met deal.
Even Devin Williams, man. Listen, I'm not worried about Devin Williams. You know, it's early in the season. He's had, if you take away his two bad outings, you know, where he gave up four earned and three earned, then he's only had one earned run in 6 2/3 innings. That's not bad. You know, listen, you know, these relievers, their ERA goes up and down, it shoots up and down easily. Look at Edwin Diaz. His ERA is over 5.5 right now. He's always been someone up and down, but sometimes, you know, like you said earlier, a lot of these closers, like Emmanuel Class A, you know, they just don't have it yet. But at the end of the day, listen, I want to see a Subway World Series. One team cast their check last year and was there. The other one missed out. Hopefully the Mets can cast their check this year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hoping for it ever, but it just seems like, you know, welcome to the party, Mets fans. The Mets are going to be contending every year. They're going to be good.
We expect
the Yankees to do the same. So it's the odds are
to the island of relevancy, you know?
Yeah.
They're just docking their ship on the island of relevancy.
I don't mind
when
it.
When the Yankees own like multiple condos, you know.
I don't mind it. Come on down.
Come on in. We'll show you around. We'll dog walk you. And listen, they can go sweep us, you know, next month and in July in these, you know, three game Subway Series here and there.
They're not going to sweep.
I don't care. That's their World Series every year. That's the thing that they take tremendous pride in, or Subway World Series. I don't care. The World Series that I care about is the actual World Series, not the Subway World Series. Just like Jeter said, they're just the Mets. We don't care about them, you know. I care about Boston and Toronto and, you know, the teams in our division. I don't care about these damn Mets until we play them in a World Series. And that's only happened in 2000. And what do we do then? We dog walked them. and I can't wait to do it again.
Thanks for the call, John. There, you know, John from Masbeth, you guys have probably seen him. He pulls up to Citi Field. He doesn't live too far, so it works for him to get his content out there, and he's great at needling the Mets fans. People think it's me. They think I'm the top hater. They think I'm the top guy. I'm not the top guy. I don't have that much time to be the top guy. 888-808-1019. It is good for the rivalry. The rivalry has a lot of juice now. And it's not just because of Juan Soto. It's because both ballparks are full. Because both ballparks have good players. The Yankees aren't hurting without Juan Soto. The Yankees aren't longing for Juan Soto. Ben Rice will be back in the lineup. Trent Grisham eventually will be back in the lineup. Just take those two players alone. As I was on this radio station all offseason saying, we need another bat. We need another bat. I was not factoring in what those two bats would be. At all, really. I didn't expect them to play as much as they've played. I didn't know Stanton was going to be down, and then Ben Rice would get all of these opportunities to not only just DH, but also lead off. And, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt. I knew what Paul Goldschmidt was. I'm not going to sit on here. I got to find a young guy that listens to my show to, like, you know, record little takes and stuff to go back. Because, like, I'm not, like, I don't have, like, how the, like, you know, the daytime parts can go back and they can have a producer go back and look at an exact date or whatever. I'm like, I know I was endorsing Paul Goldschmidt the entire way. I don't think there was one night where I was like, Paul Goldschmidt, no. People wanted Christian Walker. People wanted the Yankees to check on Alonso. I'm like, if Paul Goldschmidt is available, which he is, and he's interested, like, this guy is a professional hitter. And the production that he's going to give the Yankees at first base, like, I don't know if this version of the – no, I do know. This version of the Yankees would not exist if they gave $670 million to Juan Soto.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'd be in a tough spot. We'd be in a tough spot. So everything happens how it's supposed to happen, right? The Mets get Juan Soto, and all the conversation that was being had about where Pete Alonso was going to go, he was never going to be a Yankee. He also never was going to Toronto. They made the smart decision in bringing Pete Alonso back. Again, I tip my cap to the Mets fans who showed up to Amazing Day and damn near booed the owner and president of baseball operations who have brought this glorious time to you, but you let them hear it as far as how you felt about Pete Alonso, and then they went down to Florida and had a private meeting with Pete Alonso and got the deal done. And where would this Mets team be very early on without the production of Pete Alonso, who I've been calling Paid Pete, because since they paid Pete, he's been money. He's carefree. He said he hasn't been this locked since his junior year of college. So with the combination of Soto batting between Lindor and Alonso, it has masked what Juan Soto hasn't been. But you know, don't be foolish. Juan Soto is going to go on a tear at some point where we're all going to be quiet. I thought it was coming now. He had, what, like 4 or 5 ribbies? He drove in some runs over the weekend, and then he had that homer just barely. I'm like, oh, here he comes. It's Juan Soto, bro. That's what I was telling Yankee fans last year when they were surprised. Watch, I'm like, it's Juan Soto, bro. He's different. He's going to post. Baseball is not hard for him. It's hard now. I think the adjustment has been hard for him. You know, when I saw him over the weekend get the standing O and then be asked about it and say, like, yo, I really appreciate what they did. I feel like they don't know how meaningful that is. It means a lot to the players when they do that. I thought you were a robot, Juan. I thought you were unaffected by those things. He's showing a human side. Now he's got more money than most humans would ever, you know, combined make. He's showing a little bit of a human side. But then, you know, I thought about Judge. I'm like, standing up for Judge. Judge is used to that. Since 2017, they hit the all rise. I'm the king of New York, Mello. Like, it's part of Judge's walk up. And that happened, right? That all rise happened. I remember being in the stadium back in 2017. The all rise happened because you have to stand up to make sure you have a clear view of his at bat. He might homer. He might hit the ball to you. So when Judge comes up, he's used to the standing ovation. When he chased down the home run record in 2022, every ballpark he went to was standing O every time he came up. In Yankee Stadium, everybody was standing and recording, so Judge was used to that. I don't think if and Judge also was booed. I don't think if they ever asked Judge about the standing O, I don't think he'd say anything about appreciating it. But anyway, Tony in Montreal, back on the Fan. Thanks for holding.
How you doing, Keith? Amazing show. Listen, I want to get in on this debate about Jeter and Lindor. I'm never going to say that Lindor isn't an incredible athlete, but I've seen a lot of incredible shortstops in my time, and very few are as good as Jeter in terms of his ability to captain a team and to be the leader and to be the insignia and live the insignia of the Yankees. And if you go back to the old movies, he's like the reincarnation of the greats. Like when I'm talking about the Yankee Clipper and the Babe, I put him in those types of baseball icons. And I don't think Lindor's there yet. I don't know what his career is going to be like, but very few could be. And I don't like this argument when they say, oh, you know, Jeter played amongst great players. No, he played amongst great players, but he was, what, you said 13-time All-Star, and, you know, he had Cal Ripken that was also competing at the same time. So there was some heavy-duty competition going on in the shortstop position. I just want to mention one thing also. One of the guys that I saw personally play was Ozzie Smith. He's a 15-time All-Star. He's an NLCS MVP, 13-time Gold Glove, Silver Slugger Award 87. Roberto Clemente, who was close to your heart, he won the Roberto Clemente Award. He's in the Hall of Fame 2022. Now, if you're talking strictly skill, there's nobody like Ozzie. Ozzie is in another class in terms of defense. But he also won a Silver Slugger, and he also won a World Series. So when you're saying, like, Lindor's the best, okay, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe in the time that you've seen him, but there's other amazing athletes that have played that position. And, Keith, you know that the shortstop position is a torturous position. And I think that the prototype of the great shortstops, and, you know, they drafted Jeter out of number 6 in the draft, I believe, in 92. So this guy, Jeter, is a 6 foot, I think 6'2", and he played that position. And it changed the position. It's not just that he was a great player. The prototype for that type of position changed with Jeter. And like you said, the moments when he crashed into the stands and he led the team to 5 World Series championships. Very few players could do that. And I just want to finish off with Alonso and Judge. You know, I love both of those players, even though Alonso's with the Mets. But both of them are on a pace. Both of them, I did the stats. Judge should end up, if he keeps his pace up, you know, with 162 RBIs and 214 hits, and Alonso's on a streak that he should hit 207 hits and 176 RBIs. And just imagine if they don't want to pay Pete, like you've been saying, and like I've been saying, if the Mets don't want to pay Pete, maybe the Yanks will pay Pete. And maybe Pete will come and play first base for the Yanks. And imagine those two players back-to-back. And the reason I like them together, I think the separation of Judge and Soto did well for Judge. And it also did well for Soto. Because they're two really big icon players. Sometimes two icon players can't play together. But I think that Pete can play with Judge because they have the same demeanor. They're homegrown guys. I'm not saying that Pete's from Florida, but I'm saying that they're loyal to their organizations, and they've stayed in that organization, and Pete's able to live the spotlight, and so is Judge. Now, I'm not saying they always succeed, but you know what? They're the closest thing to icon players that we have today. And I don't know if you agree with that, but I think they're phenomenal players.
Thanks for the call, Tony. I mean, I agree as far as, you know, both of those guys being faces of their franchises. You know, both of those guys bursting on the scene, breaking the rookie home run record. Pete and Judge will never be on the same team, though. They're never doing that. Like, the Yankees aren't paying Pete Alonso, and the Mets obviously should. Like, if the Yankees wanted to pay Pete Alonso, they would have put an offer for him in this past offseason. I'm glad they didn't. Like, again, I was all Paul Goldschmidt. And I've said this a bunch of times. The Yankees do not want to be the Mets. The Mets might not want to be the Yankees, but they do some things where it's like, you're clearly, you know, pulling guys that were with the Yankees, knowing that they're here in New York and they already did it on the other side. It should probably work here, whether that's Carlos Mendoza, whether that's Clay Holmes, whether that's Luis Severino or Harrison Bader or whoever it might be, from the Tim LaCastros of the world to the Dellen Betances, Curtis Granderson, don't you know, Robbie Cano. The Yankees will continue on with Ben Rice. You know, if Paul Goldschmidt is done after this year, which I would run him back for another year, especially when you don't know what Stanton is going to be. But, you know, Ben Rice is the first baseman of the future. He's not a third baseman. He can't play the outfield. I don't think they're actually going to let him catch. Looking forward to him being back in the lineup. Another thing you said about, you know, the Lindor thing with Judge, and then you brought in, like, Ozzie Smith and Cal Ripken, and or not Judge, with Jeter. You know, Jeter was, playing at the time that A-Rod was one of the best shortstops in baseball, and A-Rod joined him and moved to third base. You know, you remember Jeter and Nomar Garciaparra. He was definitely better than him, but they were always kind of going at it. And all that this is conversation that came up on Twitter. Zach said, Francisco Lindor is the best shortstop in New York baseball history. So, I mean, we're not going across, you know, to like the Cardinals with Ozzie Smith or anyone really. What it is it's a young Met fan and doing what a lot of Mets fans have done in the like last few years is celebrate prematurely. Remember when that shortstop from Houston signed with the Mets a couple years ago, Carlos Correa? There were the celebrations, boy, if we could pull up those tapes from those nights and days, the celebrations from Mets fans on the fan and online that Lindor and Correa were going to be the new Jeter and A-Rod, and Correa was going to move over to third base. Whew, you dodged one with that. But yeah, there's always a lot of premature celebrations, even with the Mets success now. And I mentioned Lugie talking about how, oh yeah, City Field's the place to be. And I think the Mets did like 42-3 on an 81-degree Saturday. Meanwhile, 50 degrees on, you know, Monday last week, the Yankees pulled in 42-6 against the Royals. And I know the stadium fits more people, but it's just like, I think I said something to Lugie on Twitter, like, bro, check a box score before you flex. Like the Yankees, 42-3? The Yankees did 42-6 on a Monday, coming off of losing a series against the Giants. The Mets did this in a win streak. The Mets did this with 80-degree weather. It's going to take a while for the Mets to compete with the Yankees' attendance. And if you don't think it's not firing up Yankee fans to go out, okay, we see what Citi Field looks like. We see how many fans are in attendance. Okay, we're showing up to Yankee Stadium. Wait till you see what it looks like Friday. It's supposed to be 70 degrees. They're giving out that hockey jersey. I don't know how many people have already hit me up. Keith, what time do I got to be in line to get a jersey? What's the best line to get into? You think I'll get one if I get there at the hockey jersey giveaway gimmick? But second year that they're doing it, and this year the brand that is making it is DKNY, so it's got a DKNY logo. It looks like clothes, and they have it looks like the Rangers jersey where it says Yankees diagonally across the front of it. I saw Cody Bellinger wearing it. Yeah, I'm going to go and get me one. You can bank on the Yankees that night having more people in attendance this upcoming Friday. There will be more people in attendance in Yankee Stadium than any of the games so far that the Mets have played in Citi Field. And that's not a slight. That's not a troll. That's not a joke. That's just a fact. It's just a fact. A Friday night in the boogie down Bronx where they're giving out. And that's the thing, too. I think it's only the first 18,000 will get these jerseys. But they're going to put 48,000 people in the building. 888-808-1019, as we continue to talk Knicks and Mets and Yanks and whatever else in New York sports, I think we're going to skip over the Darren Mooji Jets conversation the way he skipped over the Aaron Rodgers conversation. Antonio in Dover Plains, before we go to our next break. Antonio, you're on.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Keith, really, really quick. I listen to the Fan all day. I'm a truck driver. I love the Fan. But for some reason, you are the one guy that I'm having a hard time to like. I respect you and everything, but as a professional radio host, and you have the power, you have the microphone, the power to say everything, whatever you want to say, I don't understand why do you troll the Mets fans so much. Like, the Yankees play in the American League East the Mets play in the National League East. Like, we have nothing to do with each other. We should root for both teams to win because it's good for New York. I really don't understand why do you troll the Mets so much. I respect you. I respect you. I love your knowledge in every sport.
Yeah, well, there's trolling, and then there's also facts. I just gave you all the facts about how great the Mets have been, how their attendance is high. The fact is their attendance is not higher than the Yankees. I just gave you all the stuff about really their pitching lab and Lindor. And you know, I've spoken highly about their performance so far early in the season. But
yeah, but really quick, I don't want you to cut me out because I want to bring my point across really quick. All right, I understand that you are a Yankee fan and you don't like the Mets. It is what it is. But I respect
I like the Mets team. I like Francisco Lindor. I like Luis Angel Acuna.
Yeah, and that comparison like with Francisco Kranich. Lindor and Jeter, that's stupid. Jeter's the king. I'm a Mets fan, but Jeter's the king of New York. Hey. Like, there's no competition. But really
I would never compare Lindor to Derek Jeter, but a caller did, stupid. So here
we
are.
It's a stupid conversation. I'm a Mets fan, but that's what I hate about some Mets fans, that the comparison Jeter with Lindor, there's no comparison.
Okay, so like, I'm not trolling when I say that the Mets fan celebrates prematurely, and that question was born out of the success that the Mets are having right now, another good start, or another back-to-back home run game and a good start right here, where, okay, Lindor is playing well like he did at the end of last year. He's better than Jeter.
Yeah, but He's not Jeter. But really quick, my thing is I want to talk about is with the Mets, with Brett Beatty and Tyrone Taylor. Like, these two players put the lineup weak. But there's a difference between Brett Beatty and Tyrone Taylor. Tyrone Taylor gives us defense and speed. What does Brett Beatty bring to the team? I don't understand why did the Mets still insist on putting this guy on the lineup. This guy is not a professional. He's a triple-A baseball player and sprint training baseball player. He's not a professional player. I can't stand seeing Brett Beatty in the lineup. I want to know what you think about that.
They want to give him run. They want to find out definitively whether they think he can do it at this level or not, because he has done it at the minor league level. He's a left-handed bat. He's a guy that can play a couple positions in the infield. They like him. They want to see him become. Like, he broke out of it a little bit over the weekend, but ultimately you're about to see Jeff McNeil come back. And what happens when Jeff McNeil
I want Mauricio up, but I
think Mauricio is a ways away. I don't think that they're thinking about Mauricio. Brett Beatty is further along than Mauricio, but you know, you're going to find out what they really feel about Brett Beatty when Jeff McNeil comes back, because like you just said, Tyrone Taylor, he brings defense and speed. So even though they're putting Jeff McNeil in center field, I don't expect Jeff McNeil to come back and take center field reps away from Tyrone Taylor. Maybe we see Luis Angel Acuna out there.
Yes.
I think Jeff McNeil is going to play second base. So then that leaves Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos at third base. And it's, if you're asking me, it's Mark Vientos over Brett Beatty 9 times out of 10, unless Mark Vientos has a groin or a cramp or something.
Yeah, Keith, listen, thank you, man. I love you. I respect you. Just take it a little easy on us Mets fans, man.
Nah. Thanks for the call, though. Nah, like I said, I bring balance to the force. All day, from the morning show, the midday, and afternoon, you would think that it was the Mets house. You would think it was amazing day. You would think that the 7 line has some type of stock in here. You would think that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I listen all day and I'm like, yo, somebody has to. Big Mac is back. At least we got me and Big Mac at night to balance out the force. It's so heavy Met fan angles and energy during the day on the Yankees radio network. All I do is bring balance to the force. I'm a troll online, but I also give it up. And I also talk facts and I can be there's nothing to troll about what we're seeing out of the Mets right now. Out of their pitching staff, out of their bullpen, how the games are being managed, how their star players are playing, even one Juan Soto. Like I said, it was fun for a few days, Yankee fans, to be able to laugh at Juan Soto and really be able to laugh at, you know, Sal Licata or, you know, whoever was having takes about Juan Soto, but you knew that wasn't going to last. Juan Soto was going to be Juan Soto. So when you tell me to take it easy on the Met fan, nah, it's all fun. This is wrestling, right? So my wrestling character, right? You guys just watch WrestleMania. My wrestling character is obviously a diehard Yankee fan that will talk Mets and Yankees. But when there's an opportunity to troll your five-borough race or your dance crew on top of the dugout or Edwin Diaz having a ridiculous LED light show almost about to blow the game, but they're sounding the trumpets, I'm going to do that. 888-808-1019. This is my last break. If you'd like to join the show, dial up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on the Fan.
Good drop. They should have played this last night for Big Mac. Maybe they did. I don't know. I was asleep. Return of the Mac. K-Mac. C-Mac. You know, C-Mac is coming up next. So I saw him walk in. I'm just giving him a plug. So that you keep listening, you know, to the Yankee fans. They stash us in the nighttime to add balance to the force. Jeff is out on Long Island. Jeff, you're on the Fan.
Keith, good morning, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I could be better. Been listening to you for a long time. I don't ever call in, but I just want to call in and chime in and vent a little bit. I'm a long-time Knicks fan. I'm damn near 60 years old. Since I was a kid, I've been watching Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller, you name it, LeBron, come into the Garden, playoff games, get touched, get fouled, go to the free throw line. You're doing it now to a third-year rookie, first time in the playoffs, sending him to the free throw line more than the entire Knicks team? Like, when is this stuff going to stop, man? This is a joke. The league is a joke. You change the way the physicality is played during the middle of the season. You change the way the game is being ref, allowing more physicality. The Knicks built their team now to be a finesse team, which the league wanted. Now they're a soft team because you're allowing a lot more physicality. This is a joke. The Knicks will never win, bro.
They don't want to see New York and the Knicks win. They want to see these other stars come in. I was talking before about Cade Cunningham. It's so obvious that they're trying to push him up as the next American superstar in this league that's dominated by their international darlings. Like, you know, we've got stars like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Canada, Jokic from Serbia, you know, Luka from Slovenia, Giannis from Greece, and these guys are really the ones that are going to continue on because, like, Bron is going to tap out at some point. Steph doesn't have forever. Like, the next wave of young American players, we're looking at Ant-Man. Ant-Man is yelling into the stands at Crypto Arena. If you saw that clip, he's fighting with fans saying things he shouldn't say. John Moran is throwing grenades, fake grenades, air grenades at fans. So they're hoping Cade Cunningham can be the star. And if he wins this series against the Knicks, it thrusts him even more into that spot. And you can tell the machine is working.
So just think about this for 1 second, right? You got Tom Thibodeau as the coach, right? His whole mantra is, I'm going to be a physical, defensive approach type of team, right? But yet you got Karl Anthony Towns, and he doesn't shoot any shots in the whole second half. You don't run not one play to get him the ball down low in the post or anything, to get him something, maybe get to the free throw line, and the kid doesn't take not one shot the whole game, let alone free throws. How is that possible? Just for that, you got to be fired, bro. You can't be a coach in this modern NBA and have a player of Karl Anthony stature and not get a shot for him.
I hear you, but I think I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's drawing that up for Cat. I think he's looking at Brunson, who he said went to get his cape, and figuring if Brunson is the guy, he's gonna get it done. If not, he's gonna find the open man. Mikal Bridges was still on the floor. He had some open shots. He had some attempts. He even drove and tried to get that like reverse lane. It just wasn't working for him. So ultimately, yeah. I mean, is it on the coach or is it on the players? We'll see. It's a long series. But it's getting shaky now because you got to go to Detroit and you got to respond.
For sure. I just got two more things I just want to say. One is this. If Josh Hart isn't going to score for you, then he's got to come off the bench and you got to put Mitch in the starting line because you're going to get killed on the boards regardless. And lastly, what I want to say is this. Yo, keep trolling them Mets fans, bro. I listen to this radio station all day from the morning all the way to the afternoon, and all I hear is these dudes trolling Yankee fans. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. Don't listen to these crybaby Mets fans. Don't troll the Mets. Get out of here. Beat it.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I know. I listen to the station, too. And I'm like, yo, is this a Mets clubhouse from the morning show? Everybody's a Met fan. Boomer, Gio, Recco, are any of them Yankees fans? I don't even get to listen to the morning show because I'm asleep. But when I do catch it, you know it's heavy Mets angled. And then BT and Sal, BT tries his best to be objective. And he's a little bit older than me, so he doesn't troll and get into the back and forth with all that. And he's a baseball guy, a baseball player and coach, and he really can talk the X's and O's of it. And then he's got Sal Licata next to him. And shout out to Sal, because Sal's great at what he does. Sal's got that touch, man. He can go viral off of just expressing himself. Juan Soto, it was getting early late. Sal got going when he had enough. And boom, that took off. And then he said he would boo his pants off. Pause. But that took off. And Juan Soto, maybe Juan Soto caught some of that and broke out. But yeah, that's just getting to the midday. Then we get to Evan and Tiki. Evan wrote a book called My Mets Bible. Evan goes to the game and scores the game. Evan has season tickets in the 300 level. Evan has the Rico Bronya. Evan is the most Mets human being. He can tell you stuff about the Mets from decades ago. He hasn't missed a Met game. He can tell you things. You could probably get specific down to the third inning in 1998, the 14th game of the year. Evan is like that. And then Loogie is on the other side of the glass. Whether it's Tommy or positive Tommy or regular Tommy, he will lead the Met fans. Don't make any vacation plans for October because Citi Field is the place to be and the Mets are big brother. So by the time the games play, and I've heard all that all day, and by the time I've hit my Twitter keys and trolled as many random Met fans as I could find in the Twitter sphere, yeah, I'll come to WFAN with a little bit of balance. But then when I do actually talk about, hey, I see what's going on. The fans are showing up. This team is good. Yes, one of the better teams in baseball. I know it's early, but there's enough evidence to show that this lineup is going to hit. They have enough guys, whoever's turn it is, whether it's Pete, whether it's Jesse Winker, whether it's Vientos breaking out, whatever. And they have Juan Soto. You're going to get that Juan Soto at some point. When I do talk about Lindor and his prowess and his leadership, when I do give props to Steve Cohen and David Stearns, because I notice all the changes and things working and paying off, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk to me. I'm not your guy, friend. He's not your friend. He's not your buddy guy. I get it. I'm not the Mets guy. I'm not the guy that the Met fan is dying to talk to about the Mets on the fan. I understand. I can't be. I was just saying in my live chat, shout out to all 1549. In the live chat, I'm like, do you know me? This is my fourth year doing this. I think it's pretty cut and dry. Even before they found me, like, I got casted to be the last MLB fan cave dweller as a Yankee fan. Like, I got casted to be on MLB Network, not because I was a former player, not because I was an analyst, not because I had done any TV at all. But because they're like, this guy is an actual fan. This guy goes to 40, 50 games a year. Even how do I get to the fan? I was doing Yankee podcasts and content and around. I had a couple commercials on the Yes Network, things like that. I was so Yankee down. I had so many Yankee things bleeding pinstripes about me. I could never be the Met guy. So why even pretend? Why even fake it? I'm not faking it. This isn't shtick. This is me. Brian is in Oceanport, New Jersey, a great place to be down the shore. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good, man. Shout out to Mama County, right?
All day, every day, and tomorrow.
Listen, I got to be honest. These Met fans, they keep coming at you. The last guy a couple quarters ago said that Pete Alonso is going to have 207 hits. In what world are we living in?
I don't know, man. It's so early in the season. You just let people say what is going to happen, and then the dog days come, and slumps happen, and guys get hit by pitches, and all types of stuff happens in baseball. We don't know.
And listen, the reason I know, like, Met fans enjoy it. You got a good team. But until you win something, don't start. I'm actually on a road trip with my kids. We did a great spring break. We went to all these stadiums. I got booed in other stadiums wearing the Mariano 42 jersey on Jackie Robinson Day. Come on. Is a Met fan getting booed? Come on.
But that's what I'm talking about, Brian. The Yankees brand is built. And they hate the Yankees everywhere. There are 29 other teams and the New York Yankees. Yes, you're getting booed with a Mariano 42 on elsewhere because they just like, they hate that the Yankees won all those championships and are still dominant and still winning, got the best player in the sport, and have a chance to go back to the World Series and potentially win it this year. You're going to get hated on. No, they're not hating on a Met fan pulling up with a R.A. Dickey jersey.
If I wear a Pete Alonso jersey, nobody's going to boo me. You know what I'm saying? 207 hits. Yeah, boo me.
Nah, it's a great start. And honestly, I'm not rooting for the Mets to fall off. Thanks for the call, Brian. I'm not rooting for the Mets to slump or slow down. Or like, this is fun. I have to watch them. I have to listen to the games. It's better when they're good. I said that years ago. I'm like, well, at least they have some players now. I couldn't imagine doing this job. Like, some of the guys here at WFAN had to watch all those Mets games of them being terrible. Watch all those games when there's only like a handful of good players. At least they got some good players now. Some good storylines now. And shout out to the fans for going to support them. I think that is great. I am a fan at heart. I'm more of a fan than a radio host. I had way more years of being a fan than being a radio host. I'm just starting to get a hang of this thing. I'm just starting to figure out how to put a show together, talk about things, take calls, tease a break, come back from break, you know, do segments, have audio. So I'm just learning that. I'm really just putting that together now in year four. But for years, I was going to the stadium. For years, I was going to watch games. I can appreciate any ballpark being full, especially in April. I can appreciate attendance anywhere because I know how hard it is to sell tickets. I know how expensive tickets are. I know how I used to play the resale market waiting for tickets to drop under $20. Please, if I can get one ticket under $20, we're out. But, yeah, I know y'all don't want to hear it from me. Not me. I'm a Yankee shill. I'm a Yankee boy. I'm Yankee pom-poms, Yankee cheerleader. That's fine. I love the team. Loving the team changed my life. I'm not a Met fan, and I'm not going to pretend to be one. And even when you hear me speaking highly of the Mets, it's not as a Met fan. It's with baseball glasses on as a baseball fan. I'd speak the same about the Detroit Tigers. I'm looking at the Detroit Tigers. I said this before the Yankees played them. I'm like, I think they're going to be sneaky good this year. I think they got something over there. I think go Cubs, go. I think the Cubs got something over there as well. I love that the Orioles are trash. I cannot wait to see what the AL East looks like. But, like, yeah, I'm not trying to win anybody over or convince them. People can't tell me what to be with. Oh, take it easy on the Met fan. No. Some days the wind's going to blow a certain way, and it's to hell with the Mets. Some days the wind blow a certain way where I'm like, wow, look at the Mets go. It's just depending on the weather, depending on how I feel at the time. EJ is in East Meadow next up on the Fan. You got it, man.
See, finally, at least you admit it, though. You know what I mean? As a Mets fan, diehard, 1979 born, 1986 at 7 years old. Like, yo, let's go, okay?
It's so, New York.
You know, like, you troll.
You know what the reality of New York is?
Wait, let me get at you.
There's two sides, and I'm going to let you. But, like, it would be so fake of me to come in here bleeding Yankee pinstripes, being a Yankee boy.
I ain't mad at you, dog.
Let me come in here and turn my Yankee-ness down and act like I love the Mets.
I'm not even mad at you. I love this, to me, is what sports is all about. This, to me, is what sports is all about. And everybody out there that wants, hey, stop changing Keith. Don't ask Keith to be real sweet or nothing like that. No. We don't do that. Not in New York, okay? We're Mets fans. We're Yankees fans. There is no intermission, if you will.
Some people call and say they root for both. I humor it, but I'm just like,
what is
nah,
that?
No, you
That's
don't.
Ridiculous.
I don't. I don't know anybody that does that.
My best friend, I was literally texting. I said, "Oh man, our teams are out to a good spot." He's a Yankee dog. I was like, "Yeah, our teams are out to a good spot." He's like, "Yeah, you know, but." So there's always a but.
The Mets haven't played anybody. Like that's what I keep hearing from my Yankee fans. They haven't played anybody. I'm like, I'm not gonna say that.
Right. Yeah, we got a better record in this bat and third, but all of a sudden, what? So, all right. But I got to get at you real quick at what you said a little earlier because of Tony from Canada. Let me just say this, Doc, Daryl.
Not Beltran. Right away. Somebody in my chat just said that too. They said, "What about Doc and Daryl?"
Daryl, Carlos Beltran, Sandy Alomar, Yogi Berra. Don't you dare speak about.
The Yankees don't take Mets right out of Citi Field, Shea.
You guys do the same thing. You've been doing it for 40 years.
Nah, they let them go somewhere and shake the stench off.
No,
they go somewhere and they get some of the Metsiness
off
them.
You've been doing it for 40 years.
Bring them on
years.
Down, Carlos Carrasco. Come on down, Carlos Stroman. Like, did some of that Mr. Metness wear
Carlos Carrasco.
Off?
How's that feeling right now?
Hey, C is for Cookie is good enough for me. Thanks for the call, EJ. Carlos Carrasco been serviceable. I ain't even mad at it. I had no idea he'd be on the team. I didn't think he'd make the team out of, you know, spring training. All right, it's been fun. Coming up next, Chris McMonagle. And he'll take you to when the rest of the Mets fans come through. Good night. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.